Good to see you this morning. Praise God for this service thus far, for the song service and the preaching of the gospel. We certainly appreciate these things that we have heard, the time that we have been here, the fellowship with you, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a great, great joy. Appreciate the message this morning on the grace of God, the sufficiency of it, and how we should realize that and these practical things in our lives, and the focus is upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we understand and know that the Lord's strength is manifested and made known in our weak times.
Yes, sir.
If we didn't have weak times, we would not realize the strength of the Lord. That's something that if we could just grasp hold of, and therefore to use when we come to those hard times and difficult times in our life, that we don't despair. And I'm preaching to me right now. Amen. I'm preaching to me. And Sister Marlene, say amen. So we have to realize that His strength is made known in our weakness. It is shown forth. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
He's the reason. He's why we're here this morning. All praise and sweet and holy name. I want to read some verses of Scripture into the record this morning. If I could, to begin with, we've endeavored. Brother Jerry preached last night and got my thoughts and thinking about concerning the different aspects of Jesus Christ and who He is. And He preached to us that He is our merciful and faithful High Priest. And I endeavor to try to follow that with Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. He is the Son of David. He's also the Son of Abraham, is Matthew 1 and 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 14, and I'm backing up some and starting there to get into that verse 16. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And you know, you could just preach a discourse on each and every one of those expressions there in those verses. I want you to notice something here. Without controversy, without argument. In other words, no one should disagree upon this. It's without dispute. It's without controversy. That great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. That is a mystery. That is something that you cannot, I challenge you, you cannot dot every I and cross every T.
Right.
And you will never in this life be fully satisfied with every to the answer of every question that you will have and perceive in your thinking about God manifest in the flesh. And that God came to earth in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to notice here, the Apostle Paul does not say, as he said in other places concerning mystery, and of something concerning God or the things of God. The word mystery here simply means hidden truth. The Apostle Paul talks about mysteries in other places that have been hidden since the foundation of the world. They have not been brought forth until this time in the first century with the appearing of Christ in the earth and Him preaching His everlasting gospel and calling those apostles and enduing them with the power of the Holy Ghost and blessing them with a great measure of God's Spirit, and the Apostle Paul receiving special revelation as he did for that time period there. As he was one that was, he considered himself born out of due time. In other words, he was not in the original group. He was not in the original apostles that walked with the Lord here upon this earth. But yet, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord brighter than the noonday sun on the road to Damascus. And then he was a period of time, about 2 years in the Arabian desert, receiving revelation and truth that he's blessed to pin down and to write to the churches. And I'm thankful we still have our apostle to the Gentiles through the written a word of God through these epistles that he gave forth that we have recorded unto us. The Apostle Paul, very interesting, as he is of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is one that was born out of due time. He was the last of Jacob's sons on down the line. Not really part and partial of those older ones and so forth. He was one. Of course, even as much as Jacob loved Joseph, it was even greater on down toward Benjamin there. So the Apostle Paul receives this divine revelation. And as he says in other places, behold, I show you a mystery. He says that many times about different things of the hidden truth. We read in the Corinthian letter where he speaks of the resurrection. You know, we have a lot of information in the Scriptures about the resurrection.
Right.
You get to looking at it and focusing upon it. I tell you, it is not hard to prove scripturally, amen, the resurrection of the dead. The Bible is full of it. Amen. Concerning the last day and the general resurrection of the just and of the unjust, of a bodily resurrection. It's easy to affirm. It's easy to prove from a scriptural standpoint because he says, behold, I show you a mystery. Amen. I show you, I reveal this hidden truth unto you. But it's not so right here to that extent. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. We just can't quite comprehend that. We just can't quite get a hold on that. We have a lot of scripture that teaches us that it's so, that teaches us that it's real. We understand there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth, God came down, condescended, came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of God. The Lord Himself affirms this in Matthew the 13th chapter, when Jesus, beginning the 16th chapter, beginning there along about verse 13, when they came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave forth answers of who men said that He was. Oh yes, they answered the question. Jesus said, whom do men say?
Yeah.
Whom do men say? So many times we just run over that part, you know, of it, and don't really focus in. Who do men say? What's the general conversation out here among the people of the Jews here? And well, some say you're Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, John the Baptist. And Jesus looks at him and says, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now he brings it into their court. Ball's now in their court. It's not whom do men say, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christos, the anointed one of God. Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, our general language of our first article of faith of our old Baptist churches is that we believe in only one true and living God. Thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus answers in an affirmative to that, basically saying, "Yes, Peter, you've got the right answer. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And it was in his heart. It was in his heart where the Father had revealed, amen, this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I find very interesting language in Matthew chapter 22 where it says, starting in verse 41, that while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. You're going to find many times where the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the Jews would come forth, and they always wanted to ask Jesus questions. They were endeavoring to try to ensnare him, to trick him, to disqualify him, to disgrace him, to openly embarrass him. They never did it. They never came close. Jesus asked them a question on this occasion, saying, "What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? If he's David's son," and yes he is, after the genealogy, after the generation, after the offspring, the natural production of offspring, the generation. Look up that word generation, and it'll really help you with that word right there in Matthew 1:1. The generation, the book of the generation, the giving forth of the genealogy of how that Christ came through the natural line of him coming as a human being here in this life, yet without sin. And so as they said, he's the son of David. And rightly they said from the scriptures, but Jesus is showing and setting forth that he is more than the son of David. Amen. Amen. He is the son of God. If he's the son of David, then why doth David call him Lord? Why did David call him Lord, even though he's David's son in generation, in genealogy? Because he is greater than David. Greater than Solomon is here. John the Baptist said, "I must decrease, he must increase. He's preferred before me because he is before me." How is he before John the Baptist? John the Baptist was 6 months older than him, because before John was. Amen. Jesus is. Amen. The Word. That's what he said concerning. One time they asked the Lord the question, and talking to the Lord, when the Lord was saying some things and said, and talking about Abraham, and said, "Well, you're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Amen. He is the great I am. Why? Because he's the Word made flesh. He's God incarnate. He's God come down. Amen. From heaven. I tell you that a Highlander had to come down to save lowlanders. Amen. Of the great exalted God of glory had to come to earth to save poor undeserving sinners. That the objects of his love that he purposed to save even before the very foundation of the world.
Amen.
These wonderful truths do bless our soul, do they not?
Yes.
They do encourage us. They do strengthen us. Well, I tell you, even before Mr. and Miss Abraham even thought about having a little Abraham. Amen.
Jesus was.
Amen. The Word. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. You see, God cannot die. He had to be made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death.
That's right.
God never died. I don't want to get into the weeds. I don't want to get into that real deep theological discussion there. We could have one. It'd be great. But I want to tell you, God never died. The man Christ Jesus died. For the suffering of death, He was made a little lower than the angels. But listen to this now. So He is Jesus Christ is the greater David. He's greater than David, even though the son of David. But yet He is the greater David. He is before David. He is before Abraham, but yet He is Abraham's son. How is He Abraham's son? Because through that generation, going on back to Abraham, as God promised in Genesis chapter 12, through this promised one and through his descent, that all the families of the earth will be blessed. How are all the families of the earth blessed? How is Adam's one big family blessed? Because of people out of every family. Amen. Of people out of Adam's family. Amen. We're chosen and treasured in Christ Jesus even before the foundation of the world. And therefore, all the families of the earth are blessed because there's elect, amen, people out of every one of these families. They're the objects of God's love, chosen and treasured in Jesus Christ, and predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And that will be on the grand and glorious day of the resurrection.
Amen.
And they are predestinated unto the adoption of children. Adopted, taken out of Adam's family. Don't have time to preach on adoption. That'd be a great subject. But I want to tell you the last phase, the very last thing of adoption is when you take the child home.
Amen.
That's the last thing. And I just want to leave that with you. Amen. One day adoption's going to be complete. In glorification, because the children adopted out of Adam's family can't go home until they glorified. Amen. Until they glorified. You see, in regeneration, everything's done for your soul and spirit that needs to be made done. There's no halfway house that got to go and stay somewhere or get something done for it. When you breathe your last breath out here in this life, immediately your last breath here will be your first one over there. Amen. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Amen. Everything's done in regeneration for our soul and spirit made fit to live with God in glory. But it's not for these bodies. That's why they keep on going down. That's why they're going to go to corruption and go back to the dust from whence it came. That was pronounced upon mankind because of sin there in Genesis 3. Amen. When God was pronouncing the consequences of sin here in a temporal sense upon this earth, it's the judgment of the body to go back down into the dust from whence it came. But I'm glad that God is the God that watches over sleeping dust. Amen. He knows where every partial and particle is. He knows every aspect of it. And on that glorious day, oh, He's going to call from the east and the west and the north and the south, and He's going to say, give up, and it's all going to give up. Amen. And there's going to come forth. Amen. I'm glad. Yes, it'll be the just and the unjust, but I just want to focus on the just. Amen. Not because they were so good, not so because so sanctimonious and holy. Amen. But because of the imparted, amen, imputed righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a day that's going to be. Oh, that's our blessed hope that we have in Christ. And while we live right here on the sorrowful shores of time many times, that's why we are saved by hope. Someone said, well, that's another contradiction in the Bible. You're saved by grace, you're saved by hope, you're saved if you keep in memory of the gospel. Oh, I want to tell you, that's good preaching and all of that. Once again, there's the rightly dividing and the different aspects of that deliverance. Oh, I'm so thankful came to a point in my life some 26, 27 years ago. Amen. When some of these things started opening up to me like they never had before. Oh, and began to see see such beautiful things from God's Word and a great rightly dividing and understanding of these blessed truths that have been such great benefit and help unto me here in the last part of my life. The first part of my life was filled with fear from a religious standpoint. It was from gloom and despair and standing in jeopardy every hour. Oh, but it hadn't been that way now for a long time. And thank God for it. Not because I got better, amen, 27 years ago, amen, but because, amen, I heard of a better covenant. Amen. I heard of a better high priest. I heard of better things. I began to hear, amen, of a better message, of a better story, amen, from a far country, of a better news, amen, better news of a Savior, not a weak begging, pleading Jesus, amen, but a triumphant, victorious Jesus that saved His people from their sins. He came to do it, He did it, and He's going to bring forth the fruit of it in that great and final day. Oh, bless His holy name forevermore. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Notice what the Lord asked them. If David called him Lord, then how is he his son? And the scripture says, no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst. And that word durst there means dared. They didn't dare ask him any more questions. Amen. The Bible says, talking about neither durst or dared any man from that day forth asked him any more questions. He settled it. He put an end to it. Oh yes, he hushed the gainsayers and the skeptics' mouths right there with that and singled and showed forth of this blessedness here that we have this for us. I want to bring forth these verses from John chapter 7. This is after Jesus had stood on the last great day of the feast and cried with a loud voice and so forth there about drinking from Him. It's very important there in verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is all giving forth evidence to life. There's got to be life there. You understand that basic doctrine. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Many of them had hang-ups because they couldn't get past the fact. They kept looking back. He's from Galilee. He's Joseph's son. He's Mary, Joseph's son. Oh, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I want to tell you, he wasn't from Nazareth. He was from above. I read in John 6, starting in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. This is an inward coming. Right. This is in regeneration. This is not an outward coming. This is not walking down the aisle to join the church. This is not making a public confession. That's in a gospel coming. Amen. Unto the Lord in a public way. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come. That's inwardly. That's the drawing of the Father by His Spirit to Christ. And shall come. Every heir of promise. Every elect. That's just teaching that God, sometime between their conception and death, amen, is going to draw them the voice of the Son of God, the enlivening breath of the Holy Spirit of God. They're going to be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. They're going to be moved from a state of dead and trespass and sin to a state of life in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here, notice this, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So they couldn't get past. They knew the teachings of the prophets and the scriptures. They couldn't get past some of those things. But He is the greater Son of David. He is the Son of Abraham. We see so typified And Abraham, when he is told of God to go and to offer his son there as a sacrifice to Mount Moriah. And the wood was laid upon Isaac and he carried it. And Isaac asked the question, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And so it was said in the mount that he's Jehovah Jireh. Literally meaning to see, or the Lord God provideth. In other words, stop and take a look and see the provision of the Lord. Amen. See the provision of the Lord. Oh, this morning, children of God, stop, look, behold, with an eye of faith and see the provision of God the Father in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God called unto Abraham from heaven. Amen. And told him not to do it. I want to tell you, in Abraham's mind, then at that time, Isaac was a dead man. Isaac was a dead man. You read Hebrews and you can, and into the tenses of the word, you can't help but believe and understand and to know Abraham counted him as dead, but Abraham also by faith knew that God would raise him from the dead because God had promised and he staggered not at the promises of God that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, that son's going to live and he is going to have children. And through Jacob, and come through Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel and so forth, where Christ would come back through and be the very son of Abraham. God told him to take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and go and offer him. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. He is the only son of the living God in that perspective. You know, God has many sons by adoption, but He has only one begotten son.
That's right.
He has only one begotten son. Jesus Christ is the only begotten son of the Father. But because of the only begotten son of the Father, amen, therefore God has many sons.
Amen.
And this only begotten son is the captain of these many sons' salvation. And He's the one that paid the price. I want to give you another expression here. Because ye are sons. He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. That verse, I don't care how you might try to get it and twist it and wrangle it. There's no way to teach that He sends the Spirit to make you a son.
Wow.
It simply says so plainly, because ye are sons. Because ye are sons, He sends forth the Spirit of His Son. How are God's people His sons? Amen, male or female. How are they that? First, the very first thing is in mind and purpose. Even before the foundation of the world. Covenantly. And with the finished work of Christ on the tree of the cross, legally and positionally. And then in regeneration, vitally. Actually, amen, in that, a translation out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of the Son of God. Adoption taken out of Adam's family and putting in to the family of God. There are many folks, you'll hear it sometimes about being so zealous, you know, and thinking it's a real catchy term to say. God didn't choose a people out of Adam's family. Adam didn't even have a family before the foundation of the world. Well, it's true he didn't actually have one. Amen. But I want to tell you, the only people that I know of and read about in this Bible is started out with Adam and Eve. Now, if you read of any other family in this book, far as the starting of it, anybody else that started it, please come and help me with it. Amen. I read of Adam and Eve, that family. That's the family that God chose a people out of. Someone said, where'd God get His people? He made them.
That's right.
He made them. Oh yes, Isaiah talks about that, how God made His people.
That's right.
Oh yes, because ye are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Jesus Christ is many things. He's many things explained in the Scripture. They're all different aspects. They all show forth of His character, of His nature. and of His purpose and so forth. These things bless our heart. These things open up great pictures of Jesus Christ to us and of the sufficiency that is in Jesus Christ because of who He is. He is our blessed Lord, the very Son of God, the Word made flesh, condescended, came to this earth. I thank You this morning for Your kind attention. It's been good to be here with You. God bless you is my prayer. Follow this meek and lowly Lamb. Be as those in the Revelation. They follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. If you haven't denied yourself and taken up your cross to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as commanded in the Scripture and go through water baptism and come and make public confession of Christ, not in order to have a home in heaven, but because of your hope of God to live with Him in glory. Come home to thy friends. These are your friends. And tell them what great things that you see and understand that the Lord has done for you. And have a home among believers and of like precious faith that will be there. That you'll have a pastor and you'll have brothers and sisters in Christ, a church family, to nourish you and to help you and to be there for you and to teach you the ways of discipleship in the Lord Jesus Christ and be a part of this local body of fellowship of believers, this local assembly, local body of Jesus Christ. Amen.